Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the Ooze.
Looks like you got four big dicks in the room, so who's gonna fucking slap this shit down first?
Cycle it basically, and then focus on the problem at hand. You're not dealing with the emotion, you're dealing with the issue.
Richard, it's been a big long-winded speech to all passes up today for you gentlemen, but unfortunately I'm somewhat bankrupt.
Now onto our show.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm TC Downey, a.k.a. Bizzino, and you are listening to The Oods. Things are going to start off a little weird today, folks, as I'm not quite home yet, and I'm not quite on the computer. Zach is supposed to be manning the switchboard for me, but we didn't get any pre-show time, so I'm not really sure if he's made it in yet. Either way, if you guys could just hang on for a minute. It should be about 5 minutes or so, and I'll be home. And we should be able to, at that point, get stuff going. So I apologize for any inconveniences. So in the meantime, if anybody wants to call in, or I don't even know if the chat room's open at this point, but just be a little patient, and I'll get it all taken care of for you guys. Today we're supposed to be talking to Vanessa, so hopefully she's also hanging on the line and waiting for me to get my butt to where I'm supposed to be. Reason we're kind of running late is Ronald French from Axis Sanctuary actually came by to visit me today here in Tampa and hang out with me for a little bit and talk. Interesting to meet him in person. He's a lot nicer of a guy than he presents himself online. I know he probably doesn't want me telling the world that, but talk shit, Ron, when you hear this. In the meantime, I really don't know what the hell I'm going to talk about until we get there. I ended up getting hinged up, thought I had a few minutes more than what I really did. Blah, blah, blah. The Ooze will go on. In the meantime, I guess it's kind of comical listening to me squirm on the air since, well, we all know when things don't go my way, sometimes I get a little bit hyper. A little bit hyper. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. In the meantime, a couple of other things I guess I wanted to bring up. Let me think here. This week's topics, that's what I'll go on. Today, we're going to talk to Vanessa Hutchinson. I think it's, I thought it was Hutchinson, but when she sent me her name, it only had an E and not an E-N sound, so maybe it's Hutchinson. She goes by the screen name of Xiao Gui. Xiao Gui. And I know that's a little bit difficult to pronounce for some people. I kind of put a little bit of some type of a pronunciation key, but that's how I understand it. If she's using the Chinese version of those words, that should be how it's pronounced. I happen to be fortunate enough that I spent several months over in China multiple times. I kind of picked up a little bit of the language. There's only actually about 4,000 words in the entire language, which isn't that bad, but it's still, it's way different than the way that we talk here, and I'm a deaf bastard, so you know how that goes. So everybody just hang in there. I'm about, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes from home. I'll get everything up and running if Zach hasn't gotten there yet by that point. I'm still waiting to see if that's what's going on. Text message back would be great, Zach, if you're listening. whatever. But a rainy day here in Florida, which means that traffic is a little bit slower than it normally is. I don't know, raindrop hits the pavement here, and everybody acts like there's been a fucking blizzard or hurricane that's gone through. But it's neither here nor there. Yeah, you guys get to listen to me ramble in the meantime. I guess what I could do is tell you all to check out creativeoddity.com. There's been a lot of new activity going on there. Jason's got a lot of real interesting products going, interesting sales going. He had some things that stick promotion going a little while ago. I'm not sure if it's still there or not. Again, I'm not at my computer quite yet. I guess I'm sounding a little bit like Paul Valentine at this point in time, as I keep talking over and over in circles about nothing at all, but I'm not going to bore you guys with an entire hour and a half of it, just another, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes to give me a chance to get my ass upstairs and get into the house and get my computer on. In the meantime, I don't know, think of your best beast and idiot joke. I'll be happy to hear those at the end of today's segment. It's rare that I run late, so my apologies again to everybody. Just give me a few minutes and I'll rectify the situation. So, okay, Zach, if you're listening, just call in on the regular guest number and open the line up for yourself, man. Do-do-do. So, anyway, yeah, the show's failing this time, but that's okay. It doesn't always fail, so I guess that's a win. Get this up. And again, like I said, I got lucky enough today that Ron French drove out to see me, hung out with him for a little bit. Got to talk to him. Meet face to face. He's a big boy. That's for sure. No hiding that. Blah, blah. Vanessa, I hope you're still hanging on the line. Just be a couple more minutes. The computer's loading right now. In the meantime, Zach, if you're listening, again, you can call in on the guest line and I'll click you on. I know the host PIN number and all that good shit. So, I guess I'm going to answer the other line. Okay, I'm back. Apparently the technical difficulties are almost at an end. Zach should be letting himself on in just a minute. And then hopefully we can get on with our show with 10 minutes of bloopers reel right up front. You gotta love it. Only on the news. Zach, just let me know when you get here, okay? I think I'm just about there now. once I get on here, everything will go back to normal. In the meantime, at least it's been an interesting beginning. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know. You guys are definitely, you're either laughing or really rolling your eyes at this point. So, for all those people who are just now tuning in, never listened before, I promise I'm not always like this. Just when I overestimate the amount of time that I have, or underestimate the amount of time that I have available to me. Let's see. Yeah, of course the computer wants to take its sweet time, but that's okay. Fortunately, I can extend this show so we won't really lose any face time if we don't need to. And you guys have had a little bit of a treat in the beginning here. Here we go, switchboard coming up right now. And it looks like the chat's already open by Zach, so... I should be showing up here in just a minute. Definitely got to get a new internet service provider. This is ridiculous. And no callers on the air. Zach, you got to call in. Vanessa, you got to call in. I'm on the switchboard now, so you guys can call in and I can let you in. Waiting for the chat room to load. And in the meantime, there's still no callers on the switchboard. There we go. Alright guys, I'm present. I'm here. That's right. Does Vanessa ever show up? I don't know. I don't know if she's listening. I don't know what the deal is. Zach, you're not... You haven't called in either. I know you're listening because, well, you may not be listening. Awesome. Let's see. I'm here. I got your message, Taruk, and I haven't seen the email yet, but I'll go look, see if it shows up. In the meantime, once again, Vanessa, are you there? Yeah. I'm here. That's right. About 15 minutes has gone by with this little charade. Pretty terrible. Looks like we even got Sean Hartnell here. Interesting. There's a character that I thought was absent from Satanism. So it's good to see you back hanging around, man, and hopefully you stay on your medication long enough to, interact with us. Again, the call-in number is 347-989-1371. Anybody want to call in and help fill a little bit of space until we get the right people here? Go ahead. I guess that's a no. Either that or Blog Talk Radio is just like, fuck you. All right, so in the meantime, I guess while I'm waiting for... there's Zach. What's up, man?
What's up, Beast of Burden?
It looks like the fiasco is almost over, man, and I was really getting tired of talking to myself. I'm not one of those characters that's real good at talking to himself, at least not outwardly. you know?
Sure about that. Yeah, you know what? Talking to yourself kind of sucks, man. You just make yourself sound stupid, basically. Where's Tex, though? I was on the switchboard, man. By the way, I apologize. I tried to log in to get a hold of the host key, but every time I'm in there, it says the host is already entered and it hangs up on me. So,
yeah, I knew the host number and the PIN. So all you had to do was call in on the guest line and be on the switchboard to actually let yourself on, and that would have been okay. But it worked out in the end. So,
but you know what? You know who we're missing though is we're missing our guests. Tex, where's Tex? I haven't seen her pop up yet.
I haven't seen her come up either, man. I've been looking at the switchboard now for a good five minutes now, staring at the switchboard, talking to myself, you know. Starting to make myself feel like Paul Valentine a little bit.
I guess this is going to be the B-Zeno highlight edition then, because Tex is nowhere to be seen. I've been looking at the switchboard while you and your car are driving, man, and I haven't seen her yet, so. All right, Beast, here we go, man. What kind of Satanist are you, Beast? We're dying to know.
You've been dying to know what kind of Satanist I am. Well, first and foremost, I guess you would say I'm a postmodern thinker, like J.K. I lean a little more towards using iconoclastic values, if you know what that means. So I guess for the short end of it, I'm a postmodern Satanist, or a self-styled, like you would call yourself.
So do you actually believe in deities?
Do I actually believe in them? And deities as in like the anthropomorphic fucking being that sits up there with his white beard watching the world and, you know, changing little things so that it moves one way or the other? No, I don't. However, I do believe in divinity, which I believe is different, but significantly similar. At the same point, I believe that there is an all. You know, and that's obvious. Everybody should be able to look at the world and realize it's all part of one thing. It's just a very broad stroke. It's everything. You know.
Is that similar to like the collective unconsciousness? As Carl Jung describes it, because I believe in that too myself. But
yeah, it's similar. Yes, I think that most of my understanding anymore is very heavily influenced by Sophism and a lot of Eastern mysticisms. I'm extremely interested in the fourth way, as you all know, with my involvement in the prior Cthulhu cult. You know, I happen to be a big fan of introspective thinking and psychological development that's guided by self rather than by happenstance. We got somebody calling in here. I'm going to go ahead and put them on real quick, man.
Let's do it.
All right, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, man. Considering it turned into the Beast Zeno highlight edition, I promised to call in on this one.
Oh, yeah, you did. All right, so I guess I get to get put in the hot seat here since Xiao Gui, or Vanessa, that's actually Xiu Gui. Vanessa, she isn't here. So I'm a little confused, but we can maybe reschedule the show for later. But, all right, let's do this, guys.
Yep, this is the Pawn B. Zeno show.
Okay, so you emphasize holism, but how do you emphasize interactions between you and you and the rest of the universe? I mean, you, if you're an occultist, you normally subscribe to the microcosm and macrocosm theory. But what do you particularly use as a hermeneutic principle? What do you use to interpret the world? How do you, you know, what do you use as esoteric categories to assess that holism and that and your interaction and participation with it?
To be sure that I understand the question that you're asking me here, man. Are you asking me my vantage of cosmology, or are you asking me, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm saying that you can have a cosmology and say that you represent the universe. How are you doing it? You know, give your listeners some of your fourth way feel.
Actually, some of it is fourth way in nature. I do want to mention, guys, we got another caller on the line. It might be Vanessa, so hang on a minute. Thank you. Caller, you're on the news?
Yes, this is Vanessa. I'm sorry. I had to
fuck on
you. Oh, no, that's fine. You just got me off the hook. That's awesome. Before we get into you, let me answer Taruk real quick, even though he popped off the line. I break the world down into seven different cosmoses. There's obviously the everything, and then there's the first division, which is everything minus one thing, which I'm assuming is the primary principle of all. With that, I believe is nothing more than creation or creative destructive force. And then from there it breaks down into smaller and smaller categories, from the universe to the galaxies, then from the galaxies to a Milky Way or a planetary system, and from the planetary system to the planet system, and then from there I would break it down into you know, individualization of humans and further into the microcosm. So anyway, that's all really relatively uninteresting. I'm sure you've got something much more interesting to say, Vanessa. So how are you doing today?
Okay.
Okay.
I just came in, so I'm not really sure where you are in the conversation. I wasn't.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, really, we were trying to fill up dead air because you know, you're about 15 minutes late. But
sorry about that.
Talking shit. That's all right. We forgive you because you're pretty.
Yeah, that's no problem. Really, the whole show has started off kind of on an awkward slant. I was mentioning in the very, very beginning. Ronald French came to visit me today, and we were in the middle of talking when I looked down at my cell phone and went, fuck, I got 15 minutes to get home, and it takes about 10, and I've still got to stop and get a pack of cigarettes. So, yeah, it just ended up being me talking to myself for about 10 minutes at the beginning of the show, and then once I got to where I could actually get to the controls, I let Zach on, and he decided to begin tormenting me. So that's precisely where we're at.
Yeah. So
okay.
Basically where we're at is, Vanessa, what kind of Satanist are you? I'm just going to drop that bomb on you, you know, because, you know, that'll give us a 10-minute break while you explain that.
If I had to put a label on myself, I'd pick postmodern Satanism the way Jason King described it. Because I wouldn't classify myself as Levian or strictly modern, but I'm also not a theistic Satanist in any sense. So I suppose that's where I'd stick it if I had to classify it.
So if you had to stick it somewhere, that's where you stick it. I agree. You know what? And it's like, yeah, it's like Levian Satanism. That label, that category is kind of outdated, you know, because to call yourself a Levian Satanist is almost, I don't know, it's almost like idol worship, you know. It's really not, you don't idolize Levay, but what you do is you're more of a symbolic or, you know, atheistic Satanist as opposed to a theistic Satanist. So what you're saying is you don't believe in imaginary friends.
No, I don't believe in imaginary friends that care what I whisper to them or that answer if I light a candle, they're going to give me three wishes or any of that.
Beast, what do you think about that?
Actually, I was going to kind of enrich the question a little bit and ask, just because you don't believe in an anthropomorphic sense of deity, does that mean that you don't believe in divinity as well, or do you think that there's something else out there that we just don't really understand?
I guess it would depend how you define divinity. I mean, I don't believe in a personal force that is actually interested in human affairs, that like has a certain plan or a way things want to go necessarily. I think that there's, I don't know.
Okay. You know what? Real quick, I'll just say that there are four people that I associate with online that I'm afraid of. The two of them are on the phone right now. The other two is Jason King and Ego Diablos. So, yeah, mad props to you guys.
Well, thank you. I think, I don't know that you should necessarily be afraid of any of us. But, the people you refer to all do have a good ability of articulating themselves, and I think that's what makes the difference up in terms of quality of post.
Sure,
Vanessa in particular is very good at articulating herself, so
she's very good at cutting people down to size.
dropping a
soup of reality on them.
Reality bomb.
Right.
Yes.
All right. I wanted to...
Vanessa, go ahead, Beef. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to actually get some clarification on the enunciation, because I believe that it's Xiu Gui. Is that, that's how it's pronounced,
it's,
right?
Xiao Gui. And the first tone slides up and the second one dips. So it's... not just the consonants and the vowels, you also kind of have to sing it. But
Right. I'm actually thinking here. So you are using the Chinese, it is a Chinese word, then.
Yeah. Do you want me to explain that? Because I keep getting PMs with people asking me about that and why I use it.
Well, first let me ask does it have to do with the singer?
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
I Googled the beast. I did my homework.
Okay. Good.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Please explain it.
Okay.
No. I'd rather have Vanessa explain it.
In Mandarin, when you have two people with the same surname or family name, generally, they will nickname them Lao and Zhao. Lao means old, and Zhao means little. And so, if you had two people named Cheng working for you, then you'd name the older one Lao Cheng and the younger one Zhao Cheng. But so my nickname Zhao Ge is a reference to Lao Ge. It's kind of a tribute to him, and he was his real name is Ma Bo. He was a southern Mongolian writer, and he wrote this really scathing critique of Maoist China called Blood Red Sunset. But in order to protect his identity, he used the pen name Lao Ge, which means old devil. So I used the nickname Zhao Ge, little devil. So.
You know, Vanessa, it's ironic that you mention that, because that's what I name my penis is, Zhao Ge. You know, little devil. Old little devil.
So I guess the right thing for me to ask then here at this point is Ni Hao Ma?
I don't speak that much Mandarin, just so you know. Ni Hao Ma...
So,
I forgot what I was going to say. well, you do realize Ni Hao Ma is just how are you?
Yeah, I did. I said zing, but
Oh, you did. I didn't hear it. Okay, my apologies. Yeah, I've spent some time over in China, so I do speak some Chinese, but not a ton. I could probably about 400 words out of the 4,000 that are available. So. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do the Lao and Zhao thing with anyone, or?
Actually, they were very insistent upon us using their Americanized names while we were there. So I got very, very little opportunity to actually to even find out what their real Chinese names were. Normally it was 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and we were pretty drunk when I could finally stop them for just a second and say, "Hey, how the hell do I say your real name?" And they would tell me, "Oh, it's Michael." I would go, no, your Chinese name." And then they would try to teach me how to enunciate it, and that never really works very well when you've had half a bottle of rum XO and 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Yeah, much drunk. Used to be. All right. So now what I'm actually going to do, out of all fairness here, because I really do want to give Vanessa some time to be heard, I'm going to go ahead and go in and extend this show right now another half hour. And what I really want to actually talk to her about, since we're kind of at a... crossroads of which direction we could go. She had made mention that she is a postmodern Satanist in the same sense that Jason King is. And the first thing that immediately pops into my head is the fact that a lot of King's personal philosophy is based very heavily on a Buddhist or a Tibetan Buddhist stance. So I'm curious to know if she is strictly in that understanding, or if enough of the fourth way sunk in that she might have a little bit of the Sufi understanding as well. Hey, man, that's all you. It's your baby. You walk it. All right, man.
Well, I don't think there's necessarily a distinction between the two, because a lot of what you get from the fourth way is very similar to what you would find in forms of Buddhism, the idea of focusing on your mind and how it works is present in both. And I'm not actually like really deeply familiar with the fourth way. I have a cursory understanding based on some lighter readings. I didn't really get too heavily into it yet. Tibetan Buddhism is something I sort of formed an interest in. I read, again, basically some superficial stuff. But I was a Buddhist for 3 years. Most of my interest was more in Theravada, the Southeast Asian variety. So,
okay. Is there a distinction made between that and... Tibetan Buddhism?
Yeah, well, it really depends what kind of Tibetan Buddhism you're looking at. You can look at the generic sort of cultural Tibetan Buddhism, where it's sort of Buddhist elements mixed with the indigenous religion and mixed with all of the gods that were worshipped under bones before Tibet was really... Buddhism was brought to Tibet. And then there's actually, when you get up to where the monks are and what they practice and how heavily they've been focusing on meditation, then that's it's almost like it's two different religions. It's like the higher up you get in the hierarchy, the more Buddhist they actually are and the less indigenous shaman. Because I hung out with Tibetans in Austin, and there were very few actual Buddhist elements to what they did. It was just sort of they continued to worship the gods that people worshipped in Tibet, but they called it Buddhism.
All right, I understand, but they didn't actually have the introspective understanding that I would associate with it.
Mm-hmm. So there were a couple that did. There were a couple that actually had taken the time to think about it. But I think that's true of almost any religion, where the vast majority of followers just sort of have it as their daily practice or as a aspect of their identity, but they don't think too much about it. But,
okay. I myself have never actually studied any form of Buddhism for more than a little bit of light reading. All of my understanding is based off of the things that I read from Gurdjieff, specifically. I think Ouspensky really kind of robbed from what Gurdjieff was teaching. And beyond that, the rest of the way that I understand things are just things that I've formulated myself, you know, through experience with the world. So it's kind of interesting to talk to somebody that actually has even done any kind of depth beyond what I have in terms of research in the study of Buddhism. You said you practiced it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Now, by practice it, I'm assuming not just reading about it, but actually exercising different meditations and
mm-hmm.
in different types of techniques and stuff, right?
Yes. I had a lot of startovers because I kept searching for the right Buddhist organization or the Buddhist institution to work with, and I kept running into problems or figuring out this isn't exactly what I'm looking for, this isn't what I want, and I'd keep switching around. I initially, when I knew very little about Buddhism, I had just read one book and thought, hey, this is interesting, I want to get involved. I went to the one Buddhist center that I knew existed in Austin. It was called the Chittamani Buddhist Center. And I noticed it because I rode the bus past it every day on the way home from work. And it turned out that was a really bad idea. I don't know if anyone knows about that, but it's associated with the new Kadampa tradition, which is related to Geshe Kelsang Gyatso. And they don't advertise this, but apparently Geshe Kelsang Gyatso and the Dalai Lama have this tiff with one another, and there's this whole rivalry, and the NKT is basically just a money-making scheme. And while I was there, it was really nice. But it has all those underlying elements of a cult. They do love bombing. They do they make you confess everything, and then you feel really good. But if you leave, they're like, oh, well, we have all this information on you. It turned out to be really creepy, and I got out of that. So.
Okay.
But while I was there, they...
Please, continue.
While I was there, they taught. One of the things we did was a meditation where you, after you focused on your breath for a while, you visualize inhaling light and exhaling black smoke, and that's supposed to be expelling all your negativity and all that. And it makes you feel good. It's basically just for the sensation of it, but I don't know if you get any sort of deep insight with that type of meditation. It's just sort of a euphoric thing.
Right. Well, I think any kind of breath control, and I'm going to actually kind of cross-categorize here, because I know that breath play is also used in certain sexual preferences and exercises
mm-hmm.
as well. But any kind of breath control, I think, is creates a euphoric feeling. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's really interesting.
Well, you know, with breath control, man, it's like I was a patient of orgone therapy, biopsychiatric therapy, for a couple years. And, breath technique and breath breathing was, as they called it, was definitely a technical tool for psychoanalytic and psychiatry usage, and it's there's something, there is definitely something to it, but I think it's all in the eye of the beholder. I think it's all subjective. I really do, because, well, I'm more crazy than I ever fucking was. So.
One thing I've always noticed whenever you do a meditation where you're supposed to focus on your breath is that if you're doing it in a group, everyone starts breathing louder. It's like in order to focus on their breath, they have to make it more audible so that they can notice or pay attention to it. I mean,
oh, sure. It's like Darth Vader. It's like...
Yes, exactly. I remember that there was one... There was one guy, I forget his name, he wrote Confessions of a Human Guinea Pig or something similar to that, and he said that when he went in for meditation that the guy next to him was breathing like Darth Vader with an asthma attack and heavy foreplay. It was just... it was... I remember when the nun that was heading the meditation would say, focus on your breath. The first thing I noticed was that, like, instantly after she said that, the guy next to me would start going,
yeah. I would say that that's a really good demonstration of the lack of control they have at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that it's necessarily that they intentionally... made their breath more audible, or if, again, just because they have no control of it at that point in time, they instinctively make it louder so that they can audibly control it.
Yeah, I think that they sort of instinctively make it louder. I don't think they realize that they're doing that, but I think part of it's just a way of making sure you focus on it. The louder it is, the harder it is to ignore. Like, if there's light music playing in the background, you can kind of tune it out. But if there's really loud music and the speakers are just vibrating because it's so loud, then you kind of have to listen to the music. And that's the way it is with meditation. If you're going, it's easier to pay attention to it.
Right on.
You know what? You're a very sensible woman, Vanessa, because when I go to the club, I just start, like, humping on the backside of a woman, you know. It's like, doop, 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 doop. Maybe it's not me.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. Okay.
Where we're at.
Yeah, I'm losing my place here, man. Come on.
We're talking about people breathing like Darth Vader and somehow it just...
I generally hold the deep whispers for, you know, private encounters. Yeah.
All right. Well, what I'm actually interested in hearing from you, because I believe that you'll probably be somebody that can articulate why Buddhism and the Eastern understanding of occultism has become so widely researched in Satanism and how it might connect to it.
About understanding how your mind works and kind of dissecting the nitty-gritty and getting a deeper understanding of that. And Satanism is very self-centered. It's focused on being your own God and focusing on basically what you want and what your will is. And I think that understanding your own mind and understanding your will or your higher will or getting what you want are sort of part of the same thing. It's also the sense of self-improvement that comes with both. The sense of trying to be a better version of you is something that is, I think, common to both those.
Right. A lot of people that... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just remembering that in Lords of the Left-Hand Path, Flowers was mentioning that when applying sort of the left-hand path idea to Buddhist practice, that one thing one could do is become a bodhisattva and then stop at that point and use the abilities acquired once one reaches that level for one's own purposes or for sort of LHP purposes.
right, which I was actually kind of intertwined with what I was going to make mention of anyways, that a lot of people have difficulty because the end goal in Buddhism seems to be becoming one with everything and kind of losing your individuality to the all. You know, at least that's the Western perception of it. I don't know if that's necessarily what the real end goal of it is, but I think that's why a lot of people, when they're criticizing Buddhism being used in Satanism, have difficulty negating the two of them interacting. Mm-hmm. But I think that's... go ahead.
Well, it is true that a lot of the... Okay.
Go ahead, Matthew. Sorry.
Oh, no, I just wasn't sure if you were done yet. So.
What I was going to say is, you know what's interesting is we are... I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm going to whip out my cyber gun on the table. We are defining the new face of Satan as you, me, everybody here, you know, involved, and you know, we're going to define what Satanism is. And if it's going to take an Eastern mystical view, then that's what it's going to take. And I don't get it personally. I really don't get Eastern mysticism. I understand that it's, you know, it's not like praise Jesus, you know, it's not about martyrdom and whatever. But at the same time, I really don't understand it. I really don't. But again, when I read the Satanic Bible at the age of 14, I pretty much buried my head in the sand and was just like, done. That's it.
Well, going back to what Beast was saying, when he was talking about Buddhism being about destroying the self, it is true that a lot of great Buddhist minds sort of describe Buddhism as the end goal of Buddhism as destroying the ego. But it's not so much about, the way I understood it was, it's not so much about destroying yourself as it is destroying the illusion of self. The concept of anatman or no self is the idea that the whole idea of self is empty in the first place. That you don't really have a unique or independent identity, that this is just an illusion. It's a combination of various forces that came together to make you. But if you were to apply that to Satanism, I see it not so much as destroying your own self-interest or your own will as it is understanding how it works. It's kind of dissecting it and picking apart the pieces and figuring out this is what causes this, this is what causes that. And once you've pulled it all apart and you've seen that it's empty, it doesn't really have its own inherent existence, you can put it back together the way you want it to, or you can start manipulating it or using it the way you want it to, if that makes any sense.
Vanessa, let me ask you. This is a question that I'm, you know, is first in the back of my mind. Are you, I heard a rumor you're in law school, but are you actually going to be a prosecuting attorney or a criminal defense attorney?
Neither. I was thinking more corporate attorney. I wanted to focus on getting into a big firm and working for, like, major corporations and all that.
You want to be rich. That's what you're saying. Because I was going to say,
exactly.
You know, you even want to get out of jail free card. Next time I get a DUI, you're like, you know, represent me. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not actually in law school right now. I just recently graduated from Texas State University as an undergrad. And it looks like I'm going to be taking a year off because they took forever to send my transcript into the Law School Admissions Council. And if I applied right now, they just got my transcript today. If I applied right now, it would kind of be a last-minute sort of thing, and they'd probably reject it just because it was so late. So I'm going to take a year off and work, try and earn some money, and avoid taking out so many student loans.
Now, you know that's a huge trap, right? The take a year off thing. like most people say, I'm going to take a year off, and well, they never come back to it. So.
Well, you know what, Beast? I would agree with that, except for that she's a lot more intelligent than most strippers that I date. Most strippers that I date are saying, I'm doing this to avoid school, and they never are.
Right on. Right on. Real quick here, just to kind of game focus back. So how do you think, okay, you're heading for, you know, your idea of career in the future is corporate attorney. I'm curious to know, because you're very public at this point in time, about being a Satanist and about who you are and what you're trying to do. How do you think that's all going to play out in the future?
Well, actually, Ego was asking me this down when we were down about at Epoch, and I was noting that while it may hurt you in a very intimate courtroom setting if you've got a defense attorney and a prosecuting attorney and the judge is looking them both in the eye and the judge is like, you're a Satanist, that could potentially hurt you. But in a setting where you're one of many and you're all working on drafting a contract to merge this company with that company and yada, 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 you're kind of anonymous. They don't really care who the specific person is. And
sure,
the other thing is that when it comes to getting into law school, that they're going to look at your application for maybe 10 minutes tops because they get so many of them. So they're going to say, okay, what's your LSAT score? Let me skim your essay. Yeah, looks good. So once I get into a really good law school and once I've got the grades and all that, I'm going to look so good that they're going to be like, you're a Satanist. Oh, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just... You'd have to have a really, really huge scandal in order to ruin your chances at that point.
What I was more talking about is in between the actual law school and the actual going to work at X company as part of their law team, there's the little process that they call the interview where, you know, they'll sit down and review potential employees, and after the potential employee leaves, they may do, you know, further research on them. I've seen a lot of articles on the internet lately about people who were fired for things they said on Facebook or, you know, laid off because their boss didn't like their Facebook page or whatever. You know, the internet is open territory for them to, you know, search you by name and you know, or by email address and find out all the nitty gritty about you. So that's kind of the point that I was looking at more so than the actual setting, because I understand the function of a corporate attorney. I knew that wouldn't be the big issue. The big issue is the getting hired part.
When it comes to the getting hired in the first place, my goal is even if I do have this, I'm going to be such an attractive candidate that hopefully they won't care, and if they do care, that's their loss. That's basically the idea, is that if I go to, say, UT Law, and then I end up doing really well there, and I apply, and they see all my first year grades and I did this internship here, if being a Satanist is really going to ruin that, they're shooting themselves in the foot. So.
Right. I would just hate to see you lose any advantage over something so trivial. But unfortunately, that really is the way the world works. So I just was curious to know if you had, you know, weighed it. It sounds like you've thought about it, you know. So I was just curious to see what your thoughts were on it. I mean, it was something that I had to think about when I first started working with this company that I was with, and I was at that point in time really active in a early Satanic Unity movement, and I was kind of concerned myself that it would affect my chances of moving up through the company I just happened to get lucky enough that the company that I work for is run by Jewish folks, and they really don't care about that much. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other side of that is that, you know, it's not, we're not in the 1980s anymore, that there is a general understanding of, oh, yeah, Church of Satan, that's their thing, that's what they do. People are a little more familiar with Levain Satanism and what it actually entails, especially if you're looking at educated people. I mean, I can understand if some hick in Alabama would freak out about, oh, you're a Satanist, but if we're talking about people that are educated enough to be in charge of a major law firm, they're probably going to, if not know something about the background of Satanism, have enough sense to try and figure out what that means before they just jump the gun.
Right. Right.
Well, let me ask you this, Vanessa. Let me ask you this. Why do you think, in your opinion, why do you think the ratio from women to men is about 1 to 10, 1 to 15, male to female in Satanism?
Male to female in Satanism? I'd say roughly 10 to 1, just from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Are you asking me why I think that is, or...?
No, I'm asking your opinion of why you think, well, why it's fact that there's 10 Satanists, identified Satanists, males, to every one female Satanist.
I think part of it is that Satanism is kind of aggressive and dominant. It's not as sort of lovey, touchy-feely as, say, Wicca is. I mean, with Wicca, you see the exact opposite. You see maybe 10 women for every one man.
Blessed be. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but when you look at Wicca, it's all, well, we're in love and harmony and nature, and we celebrate the feminine, whereas in Satanism you have might is right and survival of the fittest and eat or be eaten, and that kind of aggressive competitive mentality I think is generally more masculine. So
I agree, you know, and it's a Lex Talionis, it's the aggressive archetype that attracts males as opposed to females. A lot of females that are interested in left-hand path will find their way to the goddess, and they will put bumper stickers in their car and say, you know, my other car is a broomstick, as opposed to, you know, Hell Satan. But, you know, I'm just curious, you know, from a woman's point of view. All right. You got any more, Zach?
No, take it away, Beast.
All right. First, Vanessa, please go ahead.
Okay, well, one thing that just occurred to me was that Camille Paglia mentions that when the firstborn is a female, they tend to take on the sort of heir to alpha role, if you will, that if there's not a son in the family or right away a son in the family, that the firstborn female will kind of take on the role of the son and become more masculine. And I really relate to that, and I think that's part of why I have the personality that that makes me sort of satanic, that I have that competitive or aggressive attitude, because I'm like a guy.
Okay. I'm curious, aesthetically is the imagery that's associated with Satanism in itself attractive to you? I mean, like, were you watching horror movies as a child and more than Rainbow Bright, or?
I didn't watch a lot of horror movies as a child. Most of what I watched as a child was just what my parents bought for me to watch, which was mostly Disney movies. But
Right. Well, I'm talking about as you get older and you're actually as you were getting older and you're actually beginning to formulate what you wanted to watch and everything, did you find yourself more drawn to darker imagery or not? I mean, I guess that's really just the question. I'm just curious because, like, for me, I've always been very fascinated with the things that lurk in the dark, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what brought me to it. I wasn't afraid of opening up the Satanic Bible because, well, my life wasn't all fucking rainbows and butterflies. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, I recognized early on that life had real monsters and real demons, so to speak, and not the fantastic kind, but rather, I'm thinking of Ted Bundy, I'm thinking of Charles Manson, I'm thinking of Adolf Hitler, Genghis Khan. You know, life has some real horrors to offer immediately, and some of these men were, in my mind, some of the most brilliant minds, and they still did these very atrocious things, and so it was kind of a curiosity as to, do I want to stay in the light or do I want to look into the shadows and see what's hiding in there? And I think that all really comes to fruition when I understand the fact that I've always kind of been, attracted to the darker aspects. So.
Yeah, I am attracted to darker things now that you mentioned that, especially when I got older and I had the opportunity to use Google and explore what I was interested in personally. It wasn't so much in films, but music really was one of the first realms in which I tried exploring darker stuff. So,
okay, what kind of music were you interested in, or are you interested in?
Well, as I've stated before, my favorite band is Tiamat, which is this Swedish satanic band. They started out as sort of classical Swedish metal, just trying to fit that image, but at a certain point they underwent a transformation and stopped trying to live up to that particular image and became, I think, a little more artistic and a little less posery. But I'm trying to think of just a way to describe them. The lead singer, Johan Edlund, has an inverted pentagram tattooed on the back of his head. He has a shaved head. He has he wears an inverted cross a lot of the time. And one of their songs, Cain, was featured on the Vampire the Masquerade soundtrack. So I guess I should give you some idea. There were also, I liked Korn, Slipknot, Marilyn Manson, sort of the more mainstream stuff that was out there before I was able to discover more, esoteric bands.
More underground stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that makes sense. I'm wondering if there's actually kind of a stereotype that could be formed, or an MO at least, that could be formed off of that little bit of information. Although, not necessarily having known every girl that's actually a Satanist, but I've known a lot of women that are interested in Satanism, and it does seem to be a reoccurring theme, at least in terms of my interaction with them. So I'm curious about that. And there's another connection, actually, that comes to mind when I'm thinking about this in contrast. They all had interest in sexual deviance as well, and from my understanding, you have some interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's actually curious to me is, would I be accurate to say that you describe yourself as a switch?
Yes.
Yes, okay. What becomes interesting to me is, as a Satanist, obviously it's easy for me to interact in that role because I participate on the level of Dom, but
mm-hmm.
How do you negate the submission then, mentally,
I like the idea of a challenge, I guess. I like the idea of meeting a mind that is greater than my own. When you're, because I'm used to being dominant. I'm dominant most of the time, whether it's in terms of sexuality or in terms of intellect or in terms of just force of personality and having control in a particular situation. Like, no, we're doing this because I say so and I'm loud. But it's very rare that I encounter someone that I can consider to be superior or I consider to be greater than myself. And when I do, I really, really like that. So sexually, I think it's the same thing. When I actually have when I'm actually able to connect with someone that can be more aggressive or strong or dominant than I am, I like sort of the challenge aspect of that. Does that make sense? I remember in The Satanic Witch, there was one thing that made a lot of sense to me when he was saying that even 12 o'clock women have an urge to submit simply because they're women. But it's very rare that they will find a man that is man enough to take them on. And I don't know if it's because I'm a woman or if it's just that I get sick of being on top all the time and I want something that's a little less easy. But
right.
There's something exhilarating about meeting someone that's either at my level or a little bit above my level. It's part of why I like interacting with people on Sin that I consider to be intelligent, that actually can challenge me on a certain level.
Right on.
And sexually it's the same. It gets boring if you're always the one that's in control. You don't feel like you're exploring anything new or getting into new territory. It's just, when you're always the one that's in power, you know what's going to happen. You know what you're doing. There's no element of surprise or uncertainty and excitement.
Well, that makes perfect sense to me. Something else I was kind of curious about, I guess, while we're on this, would you call it maybe a subconscious quest for a mentoring, or is it just strictly an appreciation for somebody who is what you would consider superior to yourself?
That's a good question, because I've often been tempted by the idea of a mentor. I like the idea when I find someone superior and I kind of want to cling to them. I get into what I referred to as fangirl mode. But if I found that if I spend too long around a particular person, I begin to see their flaws, kind of loses the, I kind of lose that sense
of them.
Awe. Yeah.
That makes good sense. Well, I guess while we're on this topic, of all the Satanists that you know out there, on Sin or off, could you name 4 or 5 that you think are particularly slick or sharp?
5? Definitely Dan Dredd, you, Ego, Jason King, and a 5th one. I guess Bobo Bad I would actually include in that list.
That's really interesting. I have a pretty similar list myself. Of course, there's a few more people that you're probably not familiar with because they don't really frequent the net as much as they used to. There was a guy some years ago that used to run around under the handle of Cro-Mag, who was really sharp. He's actually on my friends list on Facebook now. We just recently reconnected, but aside from that, I think my list is about the same. Although I do believe that other people, like Mindflux, he's a pretty sharp character.
Oh, yeah.
Wicked Puppet, Wicked Puppy, I think he's definitely coming along real nicely. I like that guy. Lexi
also
would be one that I...
There's a guy on the Modern Church of Satan, and I'm not remembering his name off the top of my head. I can see a picture of his avatar, but I don't remember.
If you can describe his avatar, I might be able to remember who he is myself.
But it's actually been a while since I've seen his avatar. I think he's an exemplar, and he has a beard.
He's an exemplar, and he has a beard. Well, there's Satan, the guy who actually moderates. No, not him.
Not him.
Let's see if I could actually pull up the thing. Not that it's really all that important anyway, but while I'm pulling it up, I guess I could move on to another question. Do you think that you'll actually make a contribution to Satanism as a whole, or do you see it being more of just a me thing?
Well, it's interesting people talk about making a contribution to Satanism or when they talk about bringing something to the table or manifesting. I think it's interesting that they always talk about it in terms of Satanism. Like you have to write a book about Satanism or open a satanic website or do something like that. I mean, I see myself as more manifesting personally and professionally than necessarily as a Satanist.
Okay. I mean, this, there's no wrong answer to this. As a matter of fact, I think that it's more important to manifest personally than it is for the movement in whole, but you know, there are those that will manifest within the satanic current for the satanic current. I was just curious to know if you felt like you were, going to head towards contributing to that, or if it was going to remain a more of a personal focus. And I'll commemorate you either way, because at least you know you're going to manifest. That's more than some people can actually say. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one thing that Ego said. He said that when he wrote the Baphomet Codex, and I don't remember exactly how he worded it, but he said that this is about Satanism as it concerns me. This is my Satanism. It's not necessarily yours, but it's what I am. So if I did contribute anything to Satanism as a whole, or just give something to the movement, I would have to clarify that this is not meant to be the definitive tome of Satanism. This is Satanism as I see it. Because I was thinking about ethics in general. There's something I'm typing up on my computer that I've been working on for a while, where I'm analyzing ethical systems as they relate to evolutionary psychology and
right,
how that relates to Satanism as I would define it. So I'm sort of developing what you might call a system of satanic ethics. But it's my system of satanic ethics. It's not, these are the ethics of Satanism and all Satanists must follow this. It's more,
right,
I guess, a sense of that.
I think I'm sort of doing a similar thing, except for it's a system of self-mastery that I've been developing. And of course, it's my system of self-mastery, but if somebody can read through it and pick out some good stuff, you know, and use it or improve upon it, then, you know, at that point, I kind of consider that, you know, I've made a contribution. You know, so I think that's kind of an understood thing. Or at least I would hope it would be. But, no, I'm having a terrible time even finding this guy on Modern Church of Satan, so it's not really that important. Where the hell were we? Zach fell off the line, I don't know, about 20 minutes ago. So it's just you and me sitting here talking this out. And I'm glad you were late, because I was real late. I was kind of... Actually, the first 10 minutes of this show is embarrassing. I'm going to have to go back and edit it. So, and it's bad. It's just me sitting there rambling to myself, which not a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of the idea of satanic unity?
I don't know if I want satanic unity per se, but I wouldn't mind if Satanists stopped, like, trying to, I don't know, faction off, if that makes any sense. There's a lot of people that they have this mentality that I am this type of Satanist and I want nothing to do with these other types of Satanists, and I'm just going to hold myself off in this little corner and not talk to those guys. I'm more about, I guess, satanic interaction. I'm more about everybody kind of, unless somebody's being a total dick and that they're just annoying the crap out of everyone, but I'm more about people all getting together and discussing things. We don't all have to agree. We don't all have to come under the same banner. We don't all have to sort of group together and unite for a common cause, but more the idea of let's all get together and talk and interact and challenge one another's ideas. Because when somebody isolates their own ideology or their own mentality, then they never really grow or develop. They just sort of sit in a circle of yes men who all agree with them and preach to the choir. So that's part of why I like Finn, because it's for any type of Satanist you care to be, but we're not necessarily all together to, we're not necessarily, we don't necessarily have unity, but we sort of have a community where we all interact.
So your forced satanic camaraderie and against the actual idea of organized Satanism.
Well, not
necessarily
camaraderie or organized Satanism, more just, I guess, satanic panel discussion. Get different Satanists in the same room and have them argue with one another.
Right. Well, that obviously, as you know, can sometimes turn into a pretty muddy and horrific scene, and all intellectualism seems to at some points escape it. So,
yeah.
Anyway, it's just, what am I saying? I'm running out of what the hell I was thinking. To be honest with you, I started this show on a bad foot. My brain's just not catching up with me here. I'm kind of chuckling because I don't know if I, you know, you weren't actually on the air, but I got a chance to actually meet Ronald French today, and I'm actually surprised because he wasn't quite what I expected. So, I think that's another really interesting thing, and actually something that I should give you props for as well. There are not many within our quote-unquote ranks that are willing to go out and meet others in physical form, and I totally dig that vibe about you as well as Ron. You know, he made a 40-minute drive up to visit me for about an hour and 20 minutes, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That worked out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Having actually,
yeah, I like the idea of a satanic convention where we keep batting around the idea of having a sin convention where we're all going to meet same place. And there's not going to be a lot of people there because obviously most people aren't going to be able to afford to travel that much or take that much time out of their schedules in order to do it. But I think that would be really cool if we could do that sometime.
Yeah, I think we need to take smaller steps than that. There should be a regional regional event first, you know, until we get a good momentum of people showing up, and then maybe move towards, some kind of bi-national event, and then maybe a national event. I think we try to orchestrate one massive convention is putting the cart before the horse, so to speak, and I mean, like, for instance, you, Jason Sorrell, and I forget what he calls himself on this forum, but Lehi is what I know him as, your other half, met up at least once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing is what I'm talking about. That kind of thing leads to being able to actually in the future have one unified convention. You know, when people get comfortable and they develop chapters, so to speak, then, you know, those chapters get a little more balls, because we all know, you know, when people get together in a flock, they have more courage than they do on an individual level. So, just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I remember there used to be an LHP meetup group here in Austin. I don't know if you've ever, do you go to meetup.com?
I've never heard of it, no.
Yeah, they basically have a system where like-minded people with any sort of interest can form groups and meet with one another and discuss their ideas. And it's everything from owners of poodles to young Democrats to knitting circles and book clubs. And there was an Austin LHP meetup group for a little while. It eventually dissolved because at first the people that were in charge of it weren't scheduling meetings, so there were people that were in it but that weren't actually meeting with one another. And then when they finally did start scheduling meetings, nobody was showing up to them, so they eventually got tired of it and just dissolved the group. But that would be kind of interesting if we could start something like that again, though not necessarily on meetup.com. Just
right on. Well, I mean, that's definitely a project I'd be interested in helping facilitate. So, you know, if you want to get the ball rolling or you want me to get the ball rolling, we could do something along that line. I mean, you've got probably, in the Austin area, you've probably got the best chance out of anybody for actually developing something like that and showing it can't work. So... at least as far as I understand it. Now, I've never actually met Jason Sorrell, though I've been friends with him for almost a decade now online. So you've had the distinct pleasure of doing something I've never gotten to do. But from what he's told me, there's a significant amount of people, you know, just in that area alone that are interested in those same types of things. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we had the Austin LHP meetup group, we had... I remember Jason Terrell actually came to one of those meetings. That was the first time I saw him. And I didn't know that much about him back then, but it was months later that we met at the coffee house. But when we had that meeting, there were several other people there. And there was actually a reporter that wrote a little article about us. There were a couple of people who identified as otherkin. There was a guy who's a chaos magician, and there's somebody that was into psychic vampirism or something. I don't remember off the top of my head who all was there, but there were a fair number of people there. So if we actually were able to organize something and have serious events, there's a lot of people that are interested in this stuff in Austin. We kept talking about doing things, but we never actually did anything. Like, we kept thinking, yeah, we're going to have this great Halloween party. We're going to have a bonfire and tons of booze and all that. And then it never actually happened. But.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that I actually know from experience is there has to be a motivator. There has to be one person that's willing to drag everybody kicking and screaming until they get into the habit of doing that.
Yeah.
So
we
can
have incentive. We have free booze. We have free pizza. It's like, oh, what? Free booze? Free pizza? All
right. But no, I mean, the guy who's going to call you up and go, hey, you know, we're meeting up in a half hour. You're going to be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the guy that needs to be there. You know, otherwise, you know, it will just continue to be circular, like you're explaining it, be where, you know, there'll be all discussions about all these fantastic things, but nobody will take the initiative to actually, get the ball rolling. And that's the real person there. They don't necessarily have to be whoever's going to be in charge or the main coordinator or anything, but it's absolutely, in my opinion, necessary to have that one individual that just rides everybody's ass to get them there. I mean, you almost kind of got to be a dick about it. You got to taunt them into it and whatever. I mean, that's actually how I got Ronald French up to up to visit me today, is I just kept razzing him and razzing him and razzing him. I've been trying myself to get something off the ground. I know probably at least a dozen Satanists in the Cape Coral, Fort Myers area. Personally, I've met with them multiple times, but now I'm in Tampa and I'm trying to, you know, reestablish that kind of thing here in this area, so that, you know, eventually it's now, you know, South or West Coast Florida meetups. And then after that, you know, we start razzing the people over on the East Coast and then the people in the Panhandle. And before you know it, you know, you've developed an entire region. So slow process, but if it's something you're really interested in, I would suggest that you just keep in mind, if you're the, if you really want it to happen, you have to be the antagonist. Just thoughts. We got about 4 minutes left in the show. Is there anything you want to plug or talk about?
Well, one thing, when you're talking about getting people together and you're talking about annoying people in your area, one thing that I've discovered is that if I wear my little Baphomet pendant around, that it actually, it's a good conversation starter. I mean, yes, every now and then an old granny will look at you and be scared, and that's always funny. But the one of the best reasons to wear it, I found, is that most people aren't really open and forthcoming about the fact that they're Satanists. Most people just mind their own business and live their own lives and don't necessarily have an account on sin or go out looking for other Satanists. So when you advertise yourself like that, it tends to perk people up. I've actually started a lot of really interesting conversations when people noticed that and said, "Hey, guess what?" So I don't know.
Right on. I would agree with that, but you know, that's only going to spark the interest. That's not going to get them to show up and participate. So.
True,
I mean,
but
if
you already have it out there, then when they start a conversation, you can be like, "Hey, give me your email address. I'll let you know the next
right
time
on.
We're doing something." Yeah.
Right on. So I guess on that, it's also why it's important to kind of always, you know, look human when you're out in public, because you might actually meet somebody.
Yeah.
And you don't want them to think you're creepy or you're living out of your parents' basement or anything like that. So
yeah, you don't want to have 23 facial piercings or yeah.
Right. Like, it always cracks me up when I see these guys who've got the really weird little Fu Manchu long mustaches and the bald head with the eyebrows that kind of connect to each other, and you know, and everything they wear is, you know, bondage pants and, you know, the Baphomet shirt. And I'm like, yeah, you're you know, really doing something for the community there, pal.
I like the universal satanic haircut, the kind of LaVey style where you have the goatee and the shaved head. How the classical satanic look is like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right, yeah, that kills me. I've made mention of that a couple of times on the show. It's that the bald head goatee thing is just, it's been beaten to death. but anyway, we got about a minute left. I want to thank you for coming out. I appreciate your participation.
Sure.
It was great, great show, good conversation. We didn't really get to touch as heavily on the Eastern mysticism as I wanted to, but maybe we can get you on here with Jason King one time and we can have a real good solid discussion on it.
Yeah, we started on that and we kind of meandered off to the side.
Yeah, well, unfortunately there wasn't a really heavily defined direction that the show was taking, so it is what it is. But anyway, we got like 20 seconds left. So thank you again, and I'm sure I'll see you around.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
All right. See you guys on Sin.